Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Wapagan Apike Pagan alongside Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf, and after a winter hiatus, Disco is back! Season 1, Episode 10 of Star Trek Discovery. It's called Despite Yourself, and we're once again reunited with the crew who find themselves lost in the Mirror Universe.
Lost in the Mirror Universe, wait, not a Mirror Universe.
No, okay. Mirror Universe.
That's what blew my mind.
I know, right?
Wait, how do we establish that?
Once you see the ISS logo, the Empire logo, that's very clearly from the old stuff.
Okay, cool.
So it is actually the Mirror Universe from classic Trek. First appeared in 1967, I think, in Mirror Mirror. It was the only ever Mirror Universe episode in the original series. Yeah. And then to be featured many, many times later in Deep Space Nine and Enterprise and all
actors,
of that stuff.
Actors get bored playing the same character over and over again. It's like, what if I play them with a goatee and evil?
Goatee. So I didn't get that. Like, to me, it was just an alternate universe thing, which was cool enough. Like, I will say it was super cool. I did like to see Captain Killy. I liked me some Captain Killy.
Which is the highlight of the episode.
Yeah. Also, when Lorca starts speaking with a Scottish accent.
Yeah, I was wondering where he was going with that. I thought, because was it the death of Stalin recently? All the actors, even though they're playing Russian, played, you know, regional accents,
and
he did Yorkshire.
That's right.
So I thought he was going to go there. He started off and I was like, what is he doing?
Oh, no. He was clearly doing Montgomery Scott.
Definitely, yes.
I mean, it was a great little homage.
I think he did well. Yeah.
Another little homage was as well, he said, we need to make it so we do everything we can to survive.
Yeah. Saw that. I was just telling Uma earlier in the morning that I like the episode, but it feels like I'm not as excited as I used to be. I think I need to get into it again.
Because now they've answered the question of what's kind of going on.
Yeah.
I'm still like, I was on a roller coaster of squeeze. Just like, it is a Mirror Universe. Then it is the Mirror Universe. And then like, oh, we're going to be here for a while. So everybody, let's evil the place up a bit. We've all got our uniforms evil. Yeah.
Which I loved because every time we see this in classic Trek, in any one of the series, we want to spend more time there and see what they do with it. The most we got was a two-parter in Enterprise where we got to live in the Terran Empire for a while.
Which is a really weird episode because there's no ties to the normal universe.
No.
It's like they just did What If Enterprise, if you're watching Enterprise in the Mirror Universe.
They just did like a capsule episode.
Like a capsule episode.
But they tie into this episode and they also tie into the original series episode because
Lorca mentioned Defiant.
The Defiant got here somehow.
Yeah.
The Tholian Web episode of the original series.
Uh-huh. 1968.
The Tholians are these kind of diamond-looking guys who do a big web in space.
Okay.
Enterprise originally encounters that when they go looking for the Defiant, and the Defiant goes into interface space and then disappears. Enterprise
and
TV show.
And we don't know where it goes.
Yeah.
Because they don't address it in the original series until
here.
Enterprise.
Enterprise season 4, the idea was not only did it go into the Mirror Universe, it went back in time 100 years to the time of Archer and all those. So he was evil Archer was looking to take that ship and use it to come back, king of the, it's not the Federation, the Empire, right?
The Terran Empire,
yeah. Which in Enterprise, Vulcans were part of, and in the original series.
Yes, correct.
So
but they were
subjugated
underlings. Yes, gotcha, exactly.
Man, so many threads.
There are a ton of threads. I mean, the Defiant thing completely blew my mind. As soon as it appeared on screen, I squealed.
Maybe this is why I'm feeling underwhelmed.
Because you were thinking of the Deep Space Nine one?
No, because I don't know any, right? So to me, it's just like, oh, wow, there's another spaceship that was there. Oh, that's cool. You know, whereas like you guys have got just like grinning from ear to ear and just about to squeal glee.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Which is interesting because this series, apart from the general callbacks, has done relatively little fan service. Mm. But this Defiant thing, tying it into the original series and to Enterprise, is probably the biggest callback or biggest fan service moment.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a hardcore Trekker.
Like you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, because of everything they've done to date... and everything else that's going on, because the other main storylines which we'll get to are still progressing.
Right.
I don't even know if we're going to stay in this mirror universe for a long period of time. I mean, it's got to be a couple of episodes because they got to get some information. We got to figure out what's going on there. But we still don't know what's going on with Lorca. Tyler's plotline is moving along. Like, obviously, they either never get home or, you know...
Season two, they get back, whatever.
I don't know exactly how it's going to be because the spore drive doesn't exist. Although... The mirror universe discovery is now there's an evil ship just popping around.
Who's
the Federation
also popping around as well? Yeah,
they'll just get back to the universe. It's like Klingon War's over. We rule everything now. Go back. You're done.
We don't need this universe.
Yeah. And that's what I want to see. Right. As soon as I found out there's a mirror universe, you know, discovery in the actual, you know, in Earth Zero, I was like, what is going on? Will we get to see a bottle episode with that? That'll be insane. Captain Killy in Earth Zero?
Well, she is captain of the Discovery over there as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
which is mental. I mean, the only big question I had, and I guess this could be explained away in a couple of lines.
Why were the Rebels' files so detailed?
Well, that's one.
Why did it have passenger manifest lists for Discovery? That's odd.
But is Ash Tyler not in this world because they didn't investigate what happened to him? They just kind of sent him along.
Yeah, because I don't know if there was a couple of people, because he was just in his normal outfit, but slightly darker, the normal the uniform. He didn't have the kind of weird breastplate or any of the pure evil stuff.
But isn't the breastplate just like for higher ups? I thought it was just for the higher ups.
Kind of, but a lot of them seem to have some kind of like leather, Babylon 5 style leather uniform thing going on.
I also love it when they just get into civvies and Lorca just looks cool in his black leather jacket.
No, there was that point where he was standing in front of that door and he just was like, puts his head through the, you know, I'm just like, wait, what's he doing?
And that's just, he's so hardcore. So that's,
oh no, but I wasn't expecting that, right?
He's so in... there's something about Lorca in this episode in that, like, he said we're going home the last episode when he input the wrong commands.
Yeah.
The Lorca from the Mirror Universe supposedly disappeared on the Buran, which maybe he... Buran?
The Buran, yeah. Buran.
Yeah.
It's with maybe he did move over because he... Everything he's doing, like, it could just be, oh, I've got a new problem to solve. But he's done that, and the way he did that in previous episodes was not in any way the way he's doing it here. Here it's all very much, oh, you don't need to see the navigational logs.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, I just pushed now, it's too far. Let's just go and find the Defiant and do this thing. Like, it's very matter of fact. Even when he's talking to the doctor, it's very much like he's talking about getting his Myvi serviced.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's very like, well, we'll just get another doctor to look at it. He's not like, he's more convincing when he's been talking to Burnham in the past. In this, he's kind of like... I'm just
brushing
along.
And so that was my theory watching this whole thing, in the sense that, yes, maybe that swap occurred. Maybe the real Lorca from Earth Zero somehow got swapped over, and that's why this Lorca was perfectly okay killing his entire crew, and maybe that's why his eyesight's all messed up.
Well, I thought maybe because it was the explosion of the two Burans, I don't know if that's something that happened that just caused the swap or something like that. But... did he plan on spending like a long period of time in an agonizer? His game plan? What's he going to do? He's home now. Why is he just like, I'm going to take a shuttle, peace out. You know, I'm going to go hang with the rebels. He doesn't seem to be doing that. I mean, obviously the Discovery is a powerful vessel. He just got off that to go live in an agonizing box. Is he looking to get the Defiant? It's been around a while. It's been 100 years since Enterprise, right?
Yeah, maybe he's playing like a long con type thing, right? Like,
it's a very long con.
Maybe he's just seeing, like, he's trying to see if he can... break it apart with Burnham's help now from the inside.
That's what I was thinking. I thought he needed Burnham's expertise or genius or whatever to try and solve his problem somehow, because he keeps trying to woo her no matter what.
Mm. Yeah.
And
like, she's the key to something.
Yes. But I don't know what it is. Also, you know, I like that you mentioned the agonizer. In the original Mirror Mirror episode, the agonizer is like this cute little portable device.
What?
Yeah, it's not like a big thing.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, in the opening of the episode, one of the transporter guys steps out of line and then Spock goes, take out the agonizer. And they like put it on his chest and he's like, ah! Yeah.
That's not cool. This is way cooler. This casket,
box, casket thing. Oh, great. It's horrible. Yeah. You can see people's skeletons.
That was, I mean, if I hated Lorca, it would be satisfying.
Yeah.
But because I like him, I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. I don't want him in their box for much longer.
So I've waited about 10 minutes now, but Ash Tyler Vok, hello.
Well, yeah, obviously. Yeah. they've been laying it on pretty thick until now.
Yeah. They have.
Yeah.
But
I mean, when do we see Kalis? Come on now.
Man, I know, but how well was that played out? Even that scene between him and Laurel, it was both agonizing and at the same time beautiful.
Yeah.
It was so weird. And he wants to kiss her and then he wants to kill her.
Yeah.
Isn't that a song?
I think it might be.
But then it flips it on its head because she's like, wait, the prayer should have turned you on.
That should have worked,
like, what? No, go into my hand. What's going on?
Well, because she's just like, you know, it didn't work exactly how I wanted it to. You shouldn't have this split personality problem. Yeah. It should have just completely transformed over, you.
Well, this is what they said. The split personality would have triggered the Manchurian tests, which is just a nice little touch. It's like, well, we run the obvious Manchurian test and everything else, and it's fine.
It's fine, yeah.
What's the game plan there?
Yeah,
they're on the Discovery. They could have done whatever. I mean, is it to create, I don't know, what century are we in now? Like another century of war with the Klingons to unite, to provide, to make the Federation an enemy big enough to the Klingons to unite and be in constant war with, so that by the time the next generation and, or sorry, by the time the original series rolls around, they're a united empire.
Right.
That's a really circuitous route of going to get what you want.
Okay, I'm just sort of cringing right now because I'm trying to figure out what you're trying to say.
Like, what is Laurel?
What is Laurel's game plan? Yeah, yeah.
I thought the game plan was just that they want to be in charge.
Yeah, no, but that was, who's the other guy? Carl?
Carl.
Carl just wants to be in charge. He doesn't give a damn about
Klingons, Kalis,
this kind of stuff. He's just like, I want to be the boss man.
But I thought,
and that's all that matters. Whereas they were all like, we have to be in the light of Kalis. We need to have the honor code. I think the honor code was part of it. And also,
correct,
we need to have a united Klingon species as opposed to this rabble we have now with the 12 houses, 12, 13 houses of Klingon?
Yeah, but united with Vok and Laurel in charge, right? I thought
ideally,
they just wanted
but
to be...
But it's also for the Empire.
Although the salute in the alternate universe is kind of weird.
The Empire, the Earth Empire.
The Terran lines. Thing, yeah.
The Heil Hitler, yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Well, that's what that's supposed to be.
I know, but...
Well, because, you know, the original episode, when it airs, you know, it was just a couple of decades after the Second World War.
Yeah,
and I guess that was the whole idea, right?
Yeah,
I mean, they're definitely trying to channel that political message in the age of Donald Trump as well. I mean, what does Burnham say? An oppressive, racist, xenophobic culture that dominates all known species.
Yeah.
A bit on the nose, but still, we get it.
So so Discovery just basically jumped into our timeline, a future
version of us.
We're doomed.
We're screwed.
And then, of course, the big moment where I actually write in my notes, holy shit, he broke his neck.
Yes.
I mean, that for me was a great... I mean, I'm glad Discovery's going down this route because you have to have bad characters do something which you feel they cannot return from.
Yeah. You have to have a point to move on. You have to have characters move on.
Yeah. But I just opened up a Variety article that went out 3 hours ago. Star Trek Discovery's showrunners, death is not an ending.
Well, no, it's true because they say...
Hugh out there.
Yeah, there's another Hugh out there and they say
and
it's
maybe
not...
Maybe he's the universal constant. He's just nice in every universe.
In every universe. In every alternate universe, yeah.
And to be fair, they had to do that, right? You can't kill the first gay couple in space.
Yeah, well, they did. I mean, I think IO9 have an article saying that it's moving forward, but they've killed off their female captains. They've, you know, they've disrupted their gay couple. I mean, that's fine, but this is drama.
It
anyway,
is.
And
as
the whole
long
point
as
is
it's
if
in
you
service
treat, yeah,
of
if you
the
put
story,
certain
right?
characters and certain relationships on a pedestal, then you're doing them a disservice as well.
Yeah,
the idea
yeah.
should be that anyone, I mean, anyone should, could, and
would.
Does anyone think Lorca's going to be around next season? I don't know.
God, I hope so, though. He's such a nice sort of character to have. Sort of opposite with Michael, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Lorca is the guy that I will do anything, including killing my entire crew. Whereas Michael is the no. This do by the book. We can't do all this.
And
things.
There also has to be stakes for Tyler. Like you need to understand, like, well, what is he? Because he is rejecting Laurel, but also when his programming does kick in, he has to protect the secret. He can't help that.
He could also not remember killing Culber.
Yeah, because the scenes where it blacks out and he blacks out, he doesn't quite remember the prayer bit either, right? Yeah. And I was already like plot-holing that, and I was like, wait, he's the head of security. He probably turned off the cameras. As to why no one noticed he was wandering around in the brig randomly turning off things and letting people out. And
I was thinking of that as well. But do you think he turned it off? I'm hoping he didn't. I'm hoping it comes back as like a thing later. We saw you do this thing.
Well, of course it has to come back because he ends the episode making out with Burnham and not telling her about his dark secret past.
Yeah.
And that creates the necessary drama that's required. Romantic tension.
What was it you said? I can't let you go on this mission because you're not you.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
That's true. I'm you.
So I'm really, really, really hoping that Michelle Yeoh is the emperor.
I don't know.
Of the Terran Empire.
So looking back, right, I think they say the emperor is like faceless. They don't even know. It's not in the logs, right? It's not in the data they've had. Now, I had to go
back and looked at
Memory Alpha for the Enterprise episodes, which are set 100 years before this, I think.
Okay.
100 years Enterprise is set?
Enterprise was 100 years before the original series.
So it's 90 years. 90 to 80 years before this. So at the end of that episode, Hoshi Sato?
Yeah.
Hoshi was the linguist on the Enterprise because it didn't have the universal translator. Mm-hmm. But in the Mirror Universe, she's the captain's woman. And ends up just backstabbing a load of people. There's all different infighting, stuff like that. But she ends up at the helm of the Defiant.
Okay.
And ends up at Earth and says, like, just surrender Starfleet to me because I've got the most advanced. I'm 100 years ahead of everyone with the spaceship, and I'm the Empress. I think that's how it finished, right?
Yeah.
Because I had to look it up. I couldn't remember. So that was 90 years ago. So could be that Philippa Georgiou is her daughter. They're related, maybe.
Ooh.
I don't know.
That'd be very cool. That'd be very cool.
Tingles.
I mean, because, yeah, if it is in line with the Enterprise episode, I mean, when I was watching it at first, I was hoping it would be something like a really old Jonathan Archer.
Mm.
But that doesn't tie in because I just want to see Scott back.
Also,
he died in that episode. So, yeah, that doesn't work. But it would be really cool because I'm like, wait, Shenzhou?
Yeah.
Where's Michelle Yeoh?
Yeah, she's not on board there, right?
Yeah.
And she did hint in interviews that she may come back, and we just assumed it was through flashbacks. All she said was, I don't think my time in Discovery is up. So everyone started speculating.
She did mention that, and we thought flashbacks. We haven't had
any flashbacks.
We have one in a while.
We just had the hologram of her leaving the message for Burnham. Right?
And it will completely, like, whatever plan is, like, just as they're getting to, like, achieve their plan, it will completely knock them sideways if she just turns up and Burnham's like, what?
And she turns into this, like, puddle mess,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Only she's like an asshole.
Yeah, sure.
That would be great.
Would that be great, though? I'd love to see a Michelle Yeoh who's a
Saru villain. Also wasn't in Evil Universe cosplay.
Yeah, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't, but I think they've got to hide him because he's an alien.
He's an alien.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
He's xenophobic.
So he can't be seen just wandering around going, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
That's true.
But it's finally, I mean, we haven't had the triple moment, but Saru did react when Tyler walked on board because now he's a threat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which was cool. When he walked into the bridge, he was like, why am I getting a head boner?
Are we going to call it that?
Because he was like weirded out by it. He was like, that's unusual. That usually happen when we're in a parallel universe where there's danger everywhere.
I just assumed it was for the parallel universe. I didn't.
No, it was literally when Tyler came through the doors. It was like, whoop.
I didn't lock that in.
Also, can I just say, Jonathan Frakes is having such a good time.
Hmm.
Because it feels like, you know, he's directed so many episodes, 2 movies. And it feels like he can kill people, he can curse, he can do all sorts of things on Trek that he could never do before.
But it doesn't break out of the, like, it doesn't feel like it's not Discovery.
No.
Which is nice. I thought that was good as well.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's nice having that old hand at it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, for a lot of fan criticism that's been out there about the series, and I know a lot of people are still upset about it, and I don't know if they're still watching it, Jonathan Frakes does bring an interesting eye to Star Trek.
I mean,
he's got that pedigree.
Here's the question. Did you guys see... I mean, obviously, unless you guys went back and rewatched the old episodes, or rather the episodes from earlier in the season, do you guys see a difference? Like, does it feel more original Star Trek?
No, I just felt it was more Discovery, and as I was watching it, I tweeted about this as well, just those geek moments were doing it for me, the callbacks, but also moments like Lorca looking at Tilly in the chair when she's just settling into it, and he's like, get out of the goddamn
chair.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've been that excited watching a TV show and not knowing what's going to happen next for a very long time.
Right,
like, there's been good TV shows and there's been great TV shows, but they haven't been like, I literally have no idea where the show could go next.
Right.
But I know that everything they've done so far has to be new, but also homage the old in a way that I really like. It's not slavish. It's not like, it's not, you know, what's the word for bad homage? It's not doing a bad homage to the thing. It's like where everything could be fan service.
Yeah.
It could be completely fan service-y, which Enterprise kind of was. Like, oh, look, we've run into Brent Spiner. I mean, whoever he's playing this week. Oh, the Klingons, we'll figure out something there. And it just was too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a really tight balance, right? To be, to still have links to the previous season. To previous shows while still setting your own path.
And that's why I think the showrunners here are just charting their own path. I think they know, they understand, they love Trek, but they realize that they just want to tell their own story.
Yeah.
And, you know, all I need is a occasional Montgomery Scott impression, and I'm happy.
Yeah. I mean, even just when they first showed the ISS, the Imperial logo, I was like, cool. But then seeing them erase the U on the saucer section and paint it over with an eye, that was just like, that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
And completely away from the Trek element, that fight in the lift was, in the turbo lift, was awesome.
Yeah, it was a great
where
fight.
She kicks out the gravity and like they fly, and he's like totally shocked. And she's like the last thing I saw do that was Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
They had the bounty thing.
Bouncy things, yeah.
And that was just a cool fight. And it's a bummer for her. She's like, watch this guy die killed twice.
Yeah.
But that scene where she walks on the bridge and it's
and
all
everyone
like,
just starts clapping.
Yes. Oh.
And it's a slow clap.
Because it's a slow evil clap. And it's like, what's it say? All hail Commander Captain Burnham. Yeah. All hail the Empire. And it's like, oh,
and
this
then
is,
even then,
this
like,
is so ripe and juicy with storytelling potential.
No, even but when like when the door opens from the lift and then
the body falls out.
The body falls out.
Everyone looks over and goes, that must be Tuesday.
Yeah, but also just like there's a you can see in Michael that split moment of like, okay, I gotta pull my shit together, right? And then she just
goes. And also that concern is everyone gonna shoot me now?
Yeah. But also then she just immediately goes, get it out of here, you know? It's like, oh, okay, cool. She sort of really slipped into it. Yeah.
It's the same way with Tilly. Like, is she going too far with, like, if you asked me that, I would cut your tongue off and clean my boots with
it.
And she's like, too much? No. Apparently not. No. There is no vamping in this universe. No. You can just do it. Everyone just go all out.
Yeah, just go as far as you want. Yeah.
Yeah. Only 5 episodes left.
God, what? Oh, no.
Only 5 episodes left.
We just got it back.
I know. Like I said, in classic Trek, all of this would have been wrapped up in 45 minutes. Mm. And we're getting a nice extended sequence in Terran Empire. And I'm so excited about it.
I am too, because I'm hoping to learn more about this empire. I'm hoping to learn more about the Mirror Universe that you guys
and
see
it is only 10 years before the original series.
Correct.
So there could be overlaps somehow.
Mm.
So it's going to be interesting to see what there. Also interesting what's going on with Stamets. I mean, there's a beautiful moment, again, these away from these Trek moments. There's a beautiful moment of Tilly trying to annoy Stamets out of his condition.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, that's just a beautiful little moment.
But it's also
them.
The kind of thing where, like, only Tilly could think of.
Yeah.
You know, it's just her character to realize that, okay, maybe I could just, if I could just annoy him, he'll come back.
And they're setting up something more, like, don't go into the palace or be careful. There are enemies here. We know what that is.
Yeah, we know that now. Yeah.
Is it because that's Philippa Georgiou lives in the palace?
Well, we don't know, right? I mean, we don't know how the spore drive and the mycelium plane fit into everything else.
Yeah.
We've still got the entire Klingon storyline, which they haven't really abandoned. It's still there in Laurel, in the brig, for them to develop. We've got the Mirror Universe thing to develop.
Yeah.
And the most important thing for me is, who is Lorca? What is he doing? Every time Lorca goes something along the lines of, well, that's against protocol, I'm like, you don't care about protocol. Yeah. What game are you playing?
I mean, and the doctor said, like, I faked Stamets' results.
Yeah. Exactly, he does.
Was that talked about before?
Because the doctor wanted to cancel.
No, wait. But the thing was, he was talking to Lorca as if it was something they had talked about before. Because Stamets didn't want to talk to Hugh about his problems because he knew that there would be a conflict of interest there. And then he eventually talked to him and they said, well, we'll sort it out as we get back. But the way he talked to Lorca was like, I faked results for you for a while now, as in I was covering for you already.
Wasn't there a thing?
You shouldn't change me off this because I've already been like doing things in harming my husband or boyfriend or whatever.
But wasn't there a bit where Lorca was telling, I can't remember who it was, maybe it was Stamets, about how we will, because Stamets was saying we have to report this whole like
multi-universe thing.
The using of him as the spore drive to main office or something. I don't know. I'm just losing the words right now.
So basically,
and then he says, "Oh, we will do something else, so then you don't have to technically report it straight away or something."
Yeah, they fudged it. Basically, you shouldn't be experimenting on yourself. Eugenics are illegal in this universe because of Khan and the eugenics wars of the 1990s.
Yeah, we missed that.
Yeah, we missed that. We slept through that one.
Ooh.
But that's the whole thing. Like, I mean, they mentioned eugenics at one point because it is essentially altering humanity, and they don't want to do that, but they have the ability to do that by ridiculous amounts of technological means. So they really shouldn't, because nothing good ever happens when anyone gets godlike power in this universe.
That's true.
And I thought that was what they were referring to. I just thought that the Doctor was constantly fudging the stuff as soon as Stamets stepped into that chamber.
Yeah, so that's what I got, was like, he wasn't doing it for Stamets, he was doing it for Lorca. So there was a kind of conspiracy thing going on there already.
Right.
So yeah, Lorca is... But the whole
He's playing everyone.
But his whole conversation there was like, you no longer... You can't report... You have no power over anything now. You can't report us back to anybody. We don't really... I'm home, I guess. So, Spore Drive, man. I'm going to go for the Defiant because...
That's a faster ship.
Then I'll have two ships or something. I don't know. Or it's been...
And a more powerful ship.
Is it more powerful? Well, it's Constitution class, I suppose, but... Enterprise class. I don't know. What's this? Why?
What are you doing? I don't know, but I can't wait for next week.
I can't, like, I'm pausing in the middle to take notes. I'm like, I can't wait for the next minute. I think it's... anyone who's given up on not being Trek is, like, way off balance now, I think. It's, like, it's been proven now. This is what they do at the end of the first... break. God only knows the cliffhanger they're going to leave us at at the end of this season.
I'm not happy. I'm not going to be happy. I swear, guys, I'm not going to be happy.
You got to watch the show. I mean, it's not just good Trek. It's just good TV.
It's good TV.
It's good TV that's unfurling week on week. There are so many other shows out there that unfurl week on week. And while I enjoy watching them, I mean, look at all that superhero stuff. I mean, yeah, it's fun, but nothing is this exciting because...
Barry
all
Allen is the fastest
stuff.
Man alive, and yet he has to train every week to defeat something that's faster. So he's obviously not the fastest man alive.
So also, maybe stop calling himself that.
And also, you pretty much know how everything is going to play out. I mean, everything is so predictable.
Yeah.
This one is completely unpredictable.
And that's why I can imagine them leaving the Mirror Universe like the next episode or two, and then something else happens, and then it turns into Quantum Leap
thing.
Again, Sliders show, which could work also, which could be like... because. Brian Fuller originally pitched this as an anthology show.
Yes, that's right. So every season we'll have a new cast, a new crew.
Yeah. And the Spore Drive is not long for this world.
No.
It cannot be. Because it's too much of a cheat mode.
Yeah.
The fact that originally I didn't think it would be like, oh, we can go literally anywhere in the blink of an eye. So that's like, warp drive, why would we even bother? It's like a child's toy. So that ship has to end up like with escape pods just popping out of it as they land somewhere and just blown to pieces. It's like, well, I guess we're not doing that ever again.
Oh, that is interesting. Because they were never able to replicate it to other ships, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
It's only the two ships and one of them got screwed.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they got that far without a tardigrade or like never thinking, we got this whole thing, we just don't know how to drive through it. Like, we built an engine that works on it.
Yeah.
But we don't know how to point it where we need to go.
I'm just waiting for the tardigrade to come back. And kick everyone's ass.
I'd love to see the Tardigrade back.
70 of them just show up. They warp in.
Oh, that's what, like, they just destroy their own show. The end of the Tardigrade just pops up and is like,
hello.
Home? All right, bye, let's go. And he then eats Lorca, and then we're done. We're like, what?
Star Trek Discovery. Check it out. It's now streaming on Netflix. Let us know what you think of this mid-season opener. We are clearly excited about it, if you can't tell. You can tweet me. I'm on at Umapagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahiwai.
And of course, you can find all of our old binge-watch episodes on Star Trek at bfm.my/disco. So go check it out, folks. You're listening to Binge Watch on At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Long live the Empire.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Starlight Lounge presents an evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.